This was about 10 months ago now. I was spending a few days with my best friend from college in his hometown. I'll call him Chris for privacy. It was a really small town from what I was used to, but Chris was showing me around and we went to the bars and just hung out and had a good time. On my last night there, he mentioned a place he'd been wanting to explore for a while, but hadn't had anyone to go with. It was some abandoned house or town he knew of, a few miles out in the woods. We used to go exploring and backpacking all the time in college, so it sounded like a pretty cool idea. Only 30 minutes after hearing about it, we were already trekking through a path in the woods. We still had some sunlight left, but we brought headlamps just in case. About 20 minutes of walking, the trail ended and we had to follow a very faint footpath through the trees. It went on for another hour before we made it. We could see a house out in the distance, and as we got closer, we could see several more behind it. It wasn't what either of us expected, though. The houses didn't really look that old. They looked weathered and heavily damaged, but had modern siding and stuff like that that made them look kind of like any other house. There was even a tiny gravel road leading from each of the homes. It looked like maybe they were trying to build a community and something went wrong, causing them to abandon it. Other people had been there before us, though, evident by the graffiti on the sides of the houses. Chris and I went up to the first house, looking through the open doorway. There were weeds growing through the floorboards, but it was otherwise empty. Before we stepped in, though, a loud slamming sound echoed through the woods. Both of us jumped and stared down the gravel road that we thought it came from. After that sound, though, it was quiet. We had no idea what it was, but after seeing nothing, we went inside the house. There wasn't too much to look at, but what made it so interesting was trying to figure out why anyone would abandon it. The house looked like it would have been nice before it was left behind. After walking around the first floor, we went upstairs to the second. Oddly, it got way darker upstairs, like no windows were letting in any light. The hallway was short, with only two doors and what looked like an attic in the ceiling. We went up to the first door and opened it, seeing another empty room. But we were quickly interrupted by hearing something downstairs. There were shuffling footsteps coming through the grass and up to the house we were in. We stayed quiet, but we were sure that whoever they were had probably seen us outside. But why would they try to approach us? They walked up to the front doorway, then stopped just before they entered.
"Hello?"
We didn't respond.
"I just want to talk. No harm at all."
He sounded older, and almost like he was missing teeth or something, stumbling a bit over his words. After that, though, there was a whole minute of silence. He didn't say anything else, but we didn't hear him leave either. We waited another few minutes, still not hearing anything, before Chris quietly went down the staircase and looked over at the front door. He turned and looked back at me with a pale face.
"There's nobody there."
I quickly went to see for myself, but he wasn't lying. He was nowhere in the doorway. We carefully made our way down and over to the doorway. Looking out, there was one line of footprints in the grass coming from where the other houses were, but no footprints leaving. Both of us figured it out at the same time and bolted for the trees, knowing the guy must have been hiding inside the house somehow. We got out of the woods as fast as we could and went back to his place. Who that guy was and why he wanted to talk to us, we don't know. I'm sure if he'd found us though, we probably wouldn't be here. I was driving across the country for a kind of hectic trip. I had to get some things done for work at an office way up in Maine, and decided that while I was there already on the road trip, that I'd visit some of my friends and family on the East Coast. During my fourth day of driving, I was spending most of that day going through Pennsylvania. There were a lot of cool towns, but most of the drive was through nothing. And to get where I was going, it was taking me on a lot of side routes, which were these long and empty one-lane highways. As it was getting late, rain started coming down, and my fuel was running low. I hadn't passed any gas stations in a while, so I figured there had to be one soon. But again, this road wasn't really going through any towns. I continued through the rain for another 30 minutes, and barely through the fog, I saw a sign for a gas station. And a couple moments later, it showed up ahead of me. It was off the side of the road, nestled in the trees, and was really small. It only had two pumps and a tiny concession building behind it. Having no other choice, I pulled in and parked, getting out and opening up my gas tank. When I pulled the pump off and tried to insert my card though, it didn't work. I wiped the dusty screen and tried to see what it was saying, but it didn't say anything. It wasn't even on. I then went over to the only other pump, and it was also off. Frustrated, I looked around. With it raining and being well past sunset, it was really hard to make anything out. Sure, the place looked old and outdated, but so did a lot of other gas stations. After a closer look though, I noticed a small light inside the concession building. Hoping it was a worker that could help me, I stepped out from under the overhang covering the pumps and ran up to the door. Moisture was covering the entire glass door, so I couldn't see inside. All I could see was the light reflecting through the glass. I grabbed the handle and it screeched open. When I stepped inside, I immediately knew something was wrong. The store shelves were empty and some even knocked over, and the place just looked like it was destroyed. The light was coming from somewhere in the back though, and was now clearly some sort of lamp or something. Definitely not a regular store light. I was only in there for a few seconds, and after seeing all of that, I quickly stepped back outside. I didn't know what was going on in there, but I knew it couldn't be anything good, and definitely not helpful for my situation. As I backed out of the store and into the rain, I turned around toward my car, but a person was standing next to it. They were completely drenched in water and were just looking around my car and into the windows.
"Hey, what are you doing?"
I yelled as I quickly made my way up to them. They shot a look at me, then moved their eyes behind me. I turned back to look at the building. The front door was opened and a man came out into the rain. He had long black hair and a sickly look. He spent no time assessing the situation and instantly started running at me. The other person by my car just backed away as I got inside, but the man running didn't slow down. He came right up to my door and tried opening it, and as I pulled away, a loud metallic scrape vibrated through the car. I sped out of there and back onto the road, making it another half hour before my car ran out of gas. Luckily, I had cell service in the area and was able to get help. While I waited, though, I looked at the outside of my car and saw a huge line going across the door. It looked like the man had run a knife along it when I drove away. Police informed me later that night that the gas station I was at was not in service for at least a decade. Other than that, though, nothing else came of it. And what would have happened if I didn't get out in time is left to nothing but theories. I live in the Midwest, and there happens to be a lot of abandoned places near me. I was in my last year of high school at the time, and my friends and I would often go to these creepy places for fun. It was a pretty normal thing that kids around here did. This was on Memorial Day weekend, which meant we had 3 days off of school, and with the year coming to a close, we decided to go explore a place that we'd been wanting to go to for a while. It was a ghost town called Cairo, which isn't technically a full ghost town because a small portion is still lived in. From what I know, it was built up in the late 1800s, and due to flooding and racial conflicts, it slowly lost its population. For almost 50 years, most of the town has been completely empty and untouched, left to just decay. Hearing about this, and hearing stories from other people who had been there, we were all really invested in seeing it for ourselves. On Sunday, around 6, my friend Tristan picked me and Ryan up, then we drove 2 hours south to Cairo. Most of the drive was through huge farmlands and fields with not many towns or cities nearby. When we got onto the road going through Cairo, it was probably the most eerie feeling I'd ever gotten. There were faint lights far down the road, coming from what looked like a few residents' houses, but everything between that was pitch black and completely abandoned. We parked on the side next to some old brick building that said liquor on it, then got out of the car. We all stood there for a minute, not really saying anything, and just listening. The wind was blowing around, making the metal and wood creak all throughout the buildings, but other than that, it was absolutely silent. Ryan led the way, walking down the road as we looked around. On the left side of the road were small wooden homes, swallowed by vines and bushes. And on the right side was a line of old shops. As we got toward the middle, one of them stood out to us. There was a sign sticking out from the brick that said, Gem. It looked like it was an old theater, even having a ticket booth next to the entrance. We all agreed to check it out, so we pulled out our flashlights and entered through one of the windows. It was obviously really dark inside, and our flashlights were pretty terrible, to be honest, lighting up only a couple feet in the direction we pointed them in. The main room was really dusty and had an awful odor to it, like rotting wood or mold. The floor was covered in debris as well, but as we looked around, Ryan suddenly told us to stop. Tristan and I immediately stopped moving and talking and just stared at Ryan. He looked like he had heard something, so we all stood in silence and listened for any noises. After a minute, Ryan broke the silence and said he swore he heard something above us. He said it was like a single footstep, but Tristan and I didn't hear it and thought it was probably just the building creaking. We looked around some more before going through the only other doorway, which led up some stairs to a second floor. This floor was actually where all the seats were at. There were about 50 chairs leading up to a balcony where the stage was on the floor below. We started walking in, going down the row of steps through the chairs, when a small creak from behind us made us all turn around. In the corner, a man was standing between the wall and one of the chairs. He looked completely disheveled and homeless, and he was staring right at us while holding up one of his arms. In his hand was a small revolver, and he was pointing it directly at me. It was still silent in the building, to the point where I could literally hear my heart beating through my body, before Tristan ran back down the stairs, leaving just me and Ryan. We tried to stay calm and told him we were just going to leave, but the man didn't speak or move. So we carefully started walking back to the stairs, and as soon as we were out of sight, we booked it out of the theater and back to the car. We drove away and spent the better part of an hour driving in silence as we all soaked in what happened. My guess is that the man we saw used to live in the community, but as it fell apart, he probably got caught up in the mess and was forced to hide and live in one of the abandoned buildings. There were a lot of ways that situation could have ended, and all of us getting out unharmed was unlikely. And we haven't tested our luck at any other places since then.